Amen. We're continuing our series called Rewired. This is a series about changing the way that we think so that we can change our lives. Our key verse for this series is Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. This verse tells us so plainly that it is as we renew our minds that our lives are transformed. You got to change the way you think if you want your life to be transformed. See, if we're going to truly be spiritual people, disciples of Jesus, you got to change the way you think. If we're going to live in all that He has for us, really live that abundant life that Jesus came to give us, well, you're going to have to change the way you think. Now, scientists tell us that our thoughts are actually tiny electrical impulses that form neural pathways in our brain. And those electrical impulses in the brain, they never stop until we die. I mean, when those impulses stop, guess what? You're in eternity somewhere. But as long as we're alive, those electrical impulses are always going in our brains. Our brains are always working. They're always active, even when we're asleep. And I don't just mean when you're dreaming. Even when you're not dreaming, your brains are actively working, organizing, storing. I'm telling you, your brain is always working. It's amazing how God created us that way. Right now, as I'm speaking, some of you, your minds have already wandered off. Tell them to come back, right? You know, some of you got your Bible on your phone and you're being all spiritual. You get your phone out, you're looking at the scripture. The pastor just read Romans 12:2. Praise the Lord. Oh man, there's a crack on my phone. How did that happen? And there it goes. Somebody else right now, they say, look at that. He's got his arm around his wife. Why doesn't my husband do that? He doesn't love me as much as his wife. He loves his wife. Another person's thinking, now when does that cowboy game start? Right? Listen, most of that, you know, that we all have passing thoughts all the time, just random thoughts, and most of them are quickly gone. We don't think them again. We don't, you know, it's not stored really as a memory. But there are things that are stored as memories. There are things that we do think again and again. And those thought patterns become neural pathways in our brain. The more we think something, the stronger that neural pathway becomes. They become thought patterns. Quite literally, in our brain, a thought pattern. It's amazing. And everyone has thought patterns that affect their life, the way they live, the way they look at life. Somebody comes up to you and they say, man, you look great today. Well, depending upon our mindset and our attitude, you know, some people are optimists. The optimist will say, well, what a nice person. The next person might be a narcissist. You say, you look great today. And they say, I know, right? And the next person is a pessimist. You look great today. And they're thinking, well, you need glasses. And then there's the cynic. You know, that person that's the cynic that's always cynical about everything. You say, you look great today. They think, you're just trying to recruit me for the children's ministry. But how we think determines how we look at life and how we engage with life, and it determines so much of the outcome of our lives. Proverbs 23:7 says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Our thoughts determine our attitudes. Our thoughts determine our words. You know, we often say, well, you should think before you speak. And certainly, there are times that we said things without really thinking through the consequences of our words right then. But I got to tell you, the truth is that sometimes yes, we didn't think in that moment about the consequences, but those words came from our thought patterns. Right. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus said. But our thoughts have everything to do with the things that we say. It has everything to do with the actions of our life. Our thoughts determine our self-image. Our thoughts determine our outlook on life. Our thought patterns, I'm not talking about just, you know, a random thought you had, but our thought patterns determine who we are and who we're becoming. And to a great degree, our thought patterns determine the outcome, the fruit of our life. I've lived in a few small towns, and in rural small town America, there is a different mindset in a number of ways. But one of those is, as a whole, the people are more laid back, and the dollar doesn't necessarily make their decisions. I mean, you can tell them, if you move to DFW, you can make at least twice what you're making. And their response is, I don't care. I like it here. Right. It's just a different mindset. They don't think they got to have the big house. I remember when I walked the neighborhoods putting out door hangers for the church. And, you know, at that time, I can't really figure the dollar amounts in today's dollars because, well, it's pretty wild today what's going on with housing, isn't it? But I remember walking by a house that was probably worth about $20,000 at that time, and there was a $60,000 boat parked in the driveway. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was so big, it took up, it was about the size of the house, I think. But my point to you is, it's just a different mindset in that culture. They think differently. You can go to some very, very poor neighborhoods, and there are people there who just have a poverty mindset. In fact, you know this. Some of you grew up in a neighborhood like that. And we've all known of people that grew up in a neighborhood like that. And then they became successful. They left that old poverty-stricken neighborhood. They got a job, a good job, or they went to school, but somehow their thinking changed. If they didn't change their thinking, they would have still been in that neighborhood. You know, here's a really strange one, but it's real obvious in our culture, is a gang. You know, gangs are just, it's like they live in their own world, and they have their own language. I mean, if you listen to them talk, there's a good chance that you may not understand some of what they're talking about. But they just have a different mindset in the way they look at life. It's just a gang culture is different than what most of us understand. And it's the same way some of them get out of the gang and go on to live a successful life. But they have to change the way they think. They have to break out of that mindset. And I'm just saying to you that for us as believers, if we want to change, if we want to grow, if we want to truly be spiritual people, we have to change the way we think. Amen. If we want to go beyond, see, some of the issues in our life and the weaknesses and the problems and the struggles, we got to change the way we think. Amen. To really live the life God has for us, we can't think the same old way. When we do that, when we live that same, we think that same old way, we end up living that same old way. And that's exactly what he says. Don't be conformed to this world. So I'm going to encourage you this morning, think differently. Don't think like the people at your job. Don't think like the people at your school. Don't think like some political party. Don't think like some religious group. Well, I grew up like this and I was taught this. No, instead, learn to think in line with the Word of God. Amen. Learn to get your mind on the things of the Spirit and let God lead and guide you. We need to learn to be spiritually minded. We need to rewire our minds to be spiritually minded. Romans 8, 5 through 8. Now, our key verse for the series is Romans 12, 2. But if you just back up four chapters, this is something that Paul also spoke to the, or wrote to these people about. And we need to get this morning. If you really want to be a spiritual Christian, you need to hear this message this morning. There are a whole lot of people who call themselves spiritual. In fact, it's all the rage right now in religious America. Well, I don't go to church, and I'm not religious, and I'm not a, you know, but I'm a spiritual person. And it's nothing, listen, a lot of the time, they're into New Age and all kinds of weird stuff, and they somehow integrated a little Jesus into it and called themselves spiritual, and they're not spiritual. Right. What we're talking about this morning is to truly be a spiritual person. And I'll tell you, none of us should be content to be a backslidden or lukewarm believer, just living a mediocre life. Every one of us needs to have that desire that we want to live for God and all that we have, all that we are. And to do that, we got to be spiritually minded. Here it is, Romans 8, beginning in verse 5. He says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Now, the NIV translates flesh there as sinful nature. It's that old nature. But one reason I'm reading it from this, from the New King James, is the word flesh. You need to understand that it has a lot to do with this. It has a lot to do with what we see and what we hear and what we feel. It has to do with the sense realm around us, the flesh. But it also is talking about that old nature because it is so tied to the sense realm. But he says, those who live according to the old nature, the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. See, that's what they're thinking about, the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, see, if we're going to really walk in the Spirit, we're going to really be a spiritual person, then he says, you have their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. Death. Yeah, it's frustration. It's dissatisfaction. It's one way or another. It is death in your life. It is not what God, what Jesus offers when he says, I came to give them life and life more abundantly. But it says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. Amen. Life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's hostile toward God. Now, a lot of carnally minded people would not own that. They would say, oh no, I'm not hostile toward God. In fact, some of them would say, oh, I love God. But the truth is that when our minds are on the things of this world, on carnal things, on the flesh, then it is an offense to God. Listen, he says, it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So those who are in the flesh, see, those who are in the flesh are carnal. He says, they cannot please God. It's amazing how God created our minds in such a way that we could have an intimate relationship with him. Absolutely amazing that, you see, he created us in his image this way, that in our minds, we can love him, we can worship him, we can honor him, we can choose to obey him, and we can have this closeness with him. And I talked about that last week, but you see in these verses here, he says, but the carnal mind is hostile to God. He can't please God. You can't be close to God with a carnal mind. See, that's just pretend. Well, I'm carnal. I'm a backslidden carnal Christian, but I'm close to God. No, you're not. Quit kidding yourself. You're deceived. Quit lying to yourself. We need to hear the word of the Lord this morning. If we want to be spiritual people, we need to become spiritually minded. And when we do, there's life and peace. Last week we read this, Isaiah 26:3, you'll keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And what a blessing it is when we learn to keep our mind on the Lord, whatever comes in life, we can still have peace. Amen. We also read Colossians 3:2, set your mind on the things above, not things on the earth. And you see, if we're going to be spiritually minded, we can't just be thinking about the things in this world all the time. No, our minds have to be on eternal things, on the things of God, on the things of the Spirit, it said. Because that carnal mind is death. Spiritual mind is life and peace. I'm kind of an old country boy. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I've been in DFW, I guess altogether, about 29 or 30 years. And I still haven't gotten used to the traffic. Maybe that's because it gets worse every year. I don't know. But it's always a battle, a struggle for me. Don't judge me. You've got your own. But it's just a struggle for me. You know, when I'm driving in traffic a lot of the time, I got to tell you, I lose my peace. And there have been times I'm getting better. I'm working on it. I'm learning to be spiritually minded. So there's been times when, you know, I've had a breakthrough and I'm really learning to trust God with that and not allow it to. But, you know, in my carnal mind, if I let it have its way, here's how I end up. Right. No, I'm not shaking my fist at anybody. I'm not cussing at anybody, you know, I'm not experiencing life in peace. I remember one day somebody cut over in front of me and they're going so slow. And they made me miss a red light on Wilshire, the first one coming into town. And I was like, man. But you know what? I decided, you know what? I serve a sovereign God. And you know what? If I'm late, I'm late. I just go trust you, Lord. I'm not going to be upset about it. I just turned it over to the Lord. And it doesn't always happen this way, but I made every lie after that. I was like, thank you, Lord. But I'm just saying to you that, you know, whatever happens in life, see, that's just a little thing. But whatever happens in life, we all have the opportunity to get upset, get bent out of shape, to get angry, to think all kinds of carnal thoughts. Or we can have our mind on the things of the Spirit. Instead, we can trust God. We can pray about those things and turn them over to God. And we end up living in life in peace. Amen. It's so much better than all that old dissatisfaction and being upset the world's way. Don't settle for that. That's not the life that God has for you. That's right. I'm telling you this morning, we got to choose to have that spiritual mind. You know, in this verse, in these verses here in Romans 8:5-6, he talks about the spiritual mind, or spiritual, the one who's focused on the things of the Spirit. He has life and peace, and carnal mind has death. It reminds me of Deuteronomy 30, where God tells his people, I set before you life and death. And then he tells you, now choose life. I mean, here's your choice, you know, it's life or death. And he tells you which one to pick. Choose life. And this reminds me of that. Why would anybody want to have a carnal mind and have death in their life when we can truly be a spiritual person, have a spiritual mind, and experience life and peace? Amen. And I got to get this in here. I'm going to talk about this more next week, but you know, I think about the Apostle Paul in prison. Come on. And he's got the joy of the Lord. Amen. And he's got the peace of God. Amen. And we get all twisted up about our situation. Well, if my life was better, if I wasn't dealing with this, listen, you can have life and peace. Amen. You see, they took away his freedom and put him in prison. You think about this. You know, we have a lot of freedoms, and we get to make a lot of choices every day. But when you're in prison, they take away most of those choices. You know what I'm saying to you? But the one choice that you always have, no matter what your situation is what you think.
That's right.
And you can have life and peace if you get your mind on the things of the Spirit instead of always thinking about the things of this life, the things of the world, and the carnal mind, what you want. See, the carnal mind is controlled by the sense realm. What you see, what you hear, what you feel. I say controlled, but it's not really controlled. No, it's stimulated by the sense realm because most often people just let it run wild. But the spiritual mind is subject to the Spirit of God. It's on the things of the Spirit. The spiritual mind is one that is focused on the Word of God. In other words, we're not just making up our own spiritual mindset. No, we need to understand that we need the Word of God to show us how God thinks and how the Spirit would lead us and how He would guide us. Anytime that people get away from the Word of God, it doesn't matter how spiritual they claim to be, they end up in error. See, some people act so, they want to act super spiritual, and they even convince themselves, you know, they try to spiritualize everything, but they end up confusing their desires with what the Spirit desires.
Right.
A guy drives past the Krispy Kreme donut shop, and, you know, he's a spiritual guy, and so he says, "Lord, if it's your will, let there be a parking spot right in the front of a Krispy Kreme donut." Well, his sixth time around the block, sure enough, there it is, right in front. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I knew it. So how can we know that our thoughts are in tune with the Spirit? The Spirit never contradicts the Word. The third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, never contradicts the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, the Word made flesh, John 1:14 tells us. No, they are always in agreement. Jesus tells us in John 6:63, it's the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and life. His words, they're Spirit and life. Wow. See, some people look at the Bible as just a religious book. And a lot of people look at it as a dead book. They say, "Oh, it's boring." Now, if you're a new believer and you're new to reading the Bible, here's some of the best advice you'll ever get starting into reading the Bible. Don't start into Leviticus and Numbers. And not even Revelation, as interesting as it might be. You need to read the book of Genesis that tells you about so many of the great patriarchs and how God worked in their life. You need to read the book of Psalms, where the psalmist who lived in real life, you know what I'm saying? And you'll find yourself in many of the Psalms, both going through hard times and times of praise and shouting to God. Listen. You need to read the Gospels about the life of Jesus and His ministry and what He came to do. And you need to read some of the letters of Paul. But I just want to get you to focus on those first few, because sometimes people just crack open their Bible and start reading in some random place. And they say, "Well, I don't understand any of this." But you need to be digging into the Word of God. It is alive and powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." It is living and powerful. Not just religious teaching. It is life-giving and life-changing. But notice this especially this morning, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Some people think that their soul and spirit are the same thing. They are not. Your soul is your mind, will, emotions, your personality, but your spirit is that inner man, the spirit is that part of you that is born of God. That's why you have to be born again. Jesus said you can be born of water, the flesh, but you also have to be born of the spirit. And when you are born of the spirit, that spirit on the inside of you is different than your soul. And notice this, he's talking about the word of God. It says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Our soul is so subject to what we see and what we hear and what we feel. It is so closely related to the sense realm. And a lot of times you see people's emotions steer them off course. They think that what they're feeling must be God. No, we need to tune into the spirit, that part of us that is born of God. The Word of God, here it is, the Word of God divides between the two.
Amen.
That's what it says. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. The Word of God is how you know the difference.
Amen.
Is this just me, what I want, or is this really God? The Word of God will keep you on the right track.
Amen.
It divides between the two. And it discerns, it judges the thoughts and intents of the heart. Could this be any clearer? This is how you know. Is this the Spirit? Is this what God wants? Or is this just me? The Word of God judges, it discerns the thoughts.
That's right.
And the intents of the heart. What's the real motive? Why am I really wanting to do this? I just want to look spiritual. You know, one of the things that's become really popular in our culture is, I mean, it's in songs, it's in all the movies, and it's amazing to me, even Christians talk this way. They say, well, just go with your heart. These people need to read the Bible. I'm talking about the Christians that say that. Just go with your heart. A bunch of you thought, yeah, that sounds right. No. Here's what the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Right.
You ever known somebody that was just being stupid? I mean, they think they're doing the right thing, but you know, man, they're not. It looks like a train wreck in slow motion. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Their heart has deceived them.
Right.
Desperately wicked. Who can know it? I'll tell you who can. The Holy Spirit. But we have to be willing to get our mind on the things of God, renew our mind with the Word of God, and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, not just our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, but what does God want? The carnal mind is that natural way of thinking. It's controlled by the old nature. The spiritual mind is focused on the things of God, eternal things, things that bring life and peace. It brings true contentment and fulfillment. But we got to break free from those old thought patterns and tendencies and attitudes. Tear down some of those old strongholds in our thought life. It's to be spiritually minded. I'm telling you, you got to take control of your thought life. You can't just allow your thoughts to run wild. See, we all have all kinds of thoughts come into our mind. Thoughts of anger, jealousy, revenge, thoughts of lust or greed, thoughts of criticism and judgment, negative thoughts, finding something wrong with everything and everybody. I don't know if y'all know this. I'm just laying it out there some today, I guess, but I'm a perfectionist. If it's not perfect, I can tell you what's wrong with it. I'm learning. See, I got to renew my mind. I got to change some old thought patterns. I'm just telling you. But the mind that's on the Spirit, it's life and peace.
Right.
Let me give you an example of the carnal mind in the Scripture. The carnal mind is what causes strife. Paul says to the Corinthians, and by the way, the Corinthians was the church in Corinth was a big church. I mean, they were blowing and going. They had the gifts of the Spirit in operation. It was moving. I mean, it was happening at the Corinthian church. But listen to what Paul says to them in 1 Corinthians 3:3. He says, you're still carnal. You're not spiritual. You're carnal. He says, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Mere men, what are you supposed to behave? He's talking about that they're still acting just like the world. Don't be conformed to this world. He says, you're still acting like the world, like people that aren't born again. Carnal. And what's he talking about? Well, there's strife and divisions among them. I got to tell you, I'm so thankful every day. This is not just some kind of PR or hype. I've been in lots of churches where there was strife. And I thank God every day that we don't have strife in this church. What a blessing to be a part of a church body that loves one another, cares for one another. We don't allow strife in this house. And I just thank God for you every day. I feel like the most blessed pastor in the world to pastor this church. But this church, I'm telling you, they were right in the throes of this strife and division. Some were saying, well, I'm with this guy and I'm with this guy. And Paul was saying, is Christ divided? You see, the Spirit never leads to division and disunity. No, He always brings unity. When two or three gathered in His name, He's promised to be in our midst. And I got to tell you, you get two or three together, you're going to have at least two or three opinions. But we can choose to be in unity. We can stay in tune with the Spirit and still be in unity. But church people can be some of the worst for taking a difference of opinion and in 2 seconds, they turn it into a big stink. People getting up teams and this family and that family, and now they're these groups mad at that group, and they start quoting scriptures at each other, and here we go. And the world just stands by and just says, puke, who would want to be a part of that? And a lot of those people that were involved in that big stink, they end up leaving and they say, I ain't going back to church anymore. I'll tell you, that's just the devil. And how did that happen? Because people were being carnal-minded. I've actually seen this stuff play out too many times. But many, many, many years ago, I remember that there was one man in the church who had been a board member previously, and he had been a Sunday school teacher. You know, he was a Spirit-filled believer, carried his Bible all the time. And he got mad at one of the staff members over something, and so they called the board meeting. And this man came to this board meeting to try to get a staff member fired. Wasn't me, just saying. But he wanted to get this one guy fired. And somebody, don't remember who, don't remember what the scripture was or even what it was about, but somebody, remember somebody, quoted a scripture. And man, that set him off. He got his Bible and he said, I can cut you up with the word of God. I want you to know that is not God. That is not the Holy Spirit. And just because somebody acts religious, see, that's acting religious. They call themselves spiritual, but they're not spiritual. They're carnal.
That's right.
But that's what happens when our minds are on the things of the flesh. It becomes about what we want instead of what God wants. Because I'll tell you, He wants there to be unity and harmony. He's not for getting somebody. No, He's for forgiveness and mercy and restoration. Right. And how do we know this? Because the Bible tells us, you see, this is how you know the difference between what's just your soul and what's really the Spirit of God. The Word of God will divide between the two. It will show you, but you got to renew your mind with the Word of God.
Right.
So often, we just end up seeking our own agenda if we're not in tune with the Spirit. But when we follow the leading of the Spirit, you know, the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5 that we're to walk in the Spirit in verse 16. And then in verse 22 through 23, He gives us what the fruit of the Spirit. This is what the Spirit will produce in your life. And you see, when you have your mind on the things of the Spirit, this is what you see happening in your life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, God deals with us different ways at different times, but for some reason, sometime lately, I just, you know, when I'm having a little bit of a hard time with me, I just start quoting it. And I say, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. This is who I am. This fruit of my life. This is what's going on with me. My mind is on the Spirit. Oh, and you see, those things, that's what the Spirit produces in your life. All of those things, we want those things in our life. This is what happens when we have our mind on the things of the Spirit. We're walking in the Spirit. But the carnal mind always looks at the right here, the right now. The spiritual mind is to tune into what God wants in this situation, whatever it is. When Jesus said that he would be put to death, Peter takes him aside and he says, "No, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Now, Peter really loved Jesus. He's been with Jesus for 3 years, and he himself has been used of God to heal the sick, to cast out devils, and later he's going to heal the sick, cast out devils, and even raise somebody from the dead. I mean, don't be too critical of Peter. I'm just telling you. And in this instance, you know, his intentions were good. I mean, if somebody ever was going with their heart, that's what he was doing here. He says, "No, Lord, this is never going to happen to you." And here's what Jesus says to him. Matthew 6:16-23, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." You see, we all face the opportunity all day long to be mindful of the things of God or just of the things of men, what we want. He meant well. But see, that carnal mind can't please God. It can't understand the things of God, and it doesn't fulfill the plan of God. We got to have our mind on the things of the Spirit. If you're going to live the life you've been called to live as a follower of Jesus and fulfill all God has for you, I'm telling you, you got to learn to change the way you think and break free from some old thought patterns. It's not easy to change the way you think. I know it's not, especially when those thought patterns have been there for a long, long time and being reinforced and reinforced. But you can change the way you think with the Word of God and with the help of the Holy Spirit. You see, sometimes if we have a problem area in our life, it could be so many things. It could be fear. It could be anger. It could be lust. It could be greed. All kinds of things. I mean, 100 different things that it could be. And here's what I want to say to you. If there's something, an area of your life where you're struggling again and again and again, it is a stronghold in your life. It has become a stronghold in your thought patterns. And you can tear it down with the Word of God. We mentioned this verse back 2 weeks ago. We began this series, but we need to go there again. 2 Corinthians 10. We're going to read 4 and 5. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." You'll notice in these verses, he's talking about warfare. He says warfare. The weapons, you got weapons, you got warfare. And he talks about strongholds. And then he talks about arguments, the knowledge of God. He talks about our thoughts. They're all related. We are in a spiritual battle. We have an adversary. There's a great spiritual battle going on that we can't see with the natural eye. But I got to tell you something. There is also a battle that is fought in our own mind. That's where a lot of this spiritual battle comes down to for us. It's the battle that happens in our thinking. And we got to win that battle. If we're going to be spiritual people, we got to win that battle. If there are areas of our life where there's a stronghold, we need to tear it down. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. What is our primary weapon for offense? It is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's what the Bible says. So we take that sword of the Spirit and you tear down those old strongholds. Don't just allow yourself to say, well, that's the way I've always been. Right. Change it. Amen. Tear it down with the Word of God. Change the way you think. Just like that guy can come out of a neighborhood of poverty and become successful, I'm telling you, you can change the way you think and become different.
That's right.
Become spiritually minded.
Glory.
How we need that. You got to tear down that stronghold with the Word of God. You know, every time Satan tempted Jesus, he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. See, when you're tempted, when you're struggling with something, you need to get to the place where you can say, it is written, it is written, it is written. In fact, while you see, some of you have been in a season of prayer and fasting right now. You know what that does in part is it helps us to be more spiritually minded. It gets our mind, it gets the flesh subdued. And it helps us become more spiritually minded. We tune in better with what God wants to do. Amen. And you can do this anytime. Doesn't have to be just the first of the year. Amen. Amen. We can fast and pray, tune in, set aside time to be alone with God, really seek God for especially for a certain time, a special season. Jeremiah 23 and 29. The Lord says, is not my word like a fire? And the Lord says, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces.
Yes.
Have you ever broken rock with a hammer? Tried to bust up some old concrete? You're talking about some hard work. And here's part of why it's hard work. You can swing a 12-pound sledge and you can hit a chunk of concrete and it just does nothing. And you hit it again and again and again. But here's what happens. Sooner or later, it's going to break. And you get a hold of the word of the Lord, you might get you 10 or 15 scriptures that speak to your situation. See, if you got a problem with anger, you need to get you about 15 scriptures. And you need to tear down that stronghold. And you just keep pounding away at it. His word is like a hammer. You just keep hammering away at it. And you know what? You'll win that battle. You'll change the way you think. You'll look back on this one day and say, man, I remember when that used to get me. I used to be so messed up.
That's right.
You renew your mind with the word of God. You become a spiritually minded person. Really in tune with what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life today. How much we miss, how many opportunities we miss because we were just a little too carnal minded at the time.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, we just need to learn this every day to rewire our minds, rewire for God, rewire to be spiritually minded, not just looking at things the way the world does. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to come.